Are you ready for the teaching of the word this morning? Amen. This is the moment. And so, Father, we thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, in these moments ahead, Lord, that your word changes us. Lord, renews us, refreshes us, restores our hope today. And we ask these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Welcome. A very warm welcome to everyone who is here and those who are listening online this morning. And today we're continuing our study in the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, we're encouraged to move on from the elementary teachings, the doctrines of Christ, and to grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he's gone before us into heaven to prepare the way for us. And Paul identifies us as a kingdom of priests. And we are priests after the same order of Melchizedek, because Jesus Christ is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and it was God's original plan. And so God's original plan was interrupted. However, he brought it all back through Jesus Christ. And so yesterday we talked a lot about God's original plan for man and woman in the earth. And so as we think of what God's original plan is, it's important that we know exactly the prototype that he has called us to be. And so we are priests, and we serve the great high priest. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. So in this book, he gives us several short commands or instructions on how we can grow and function as priests in the kingdom of God. So today we're going to look at a group of five let us statements. And they are called the statements that help us persevere. So these statements were designed for us to grow stronger in the Lord and to grow up. And how many of you know that walking through difficult times causes you to grow up? When everything's going real easy, it isn't the same. But when things get tough, it causes you to search your heart, to search God, and to search out for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and it causes you to grow. And so these are the five statements, and they're up there on the PowerPoint. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us consider how we may spur one another on, and let us not give up meeting together. And let us encourage one another. And so we're going to take a look at these this morning. And that let us encourage one another should be Hebrews 10:25, not 15. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hebrews 10:23 says, read it with me, please. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that's the offering song that we just listened to. And that is from the Seed family. And the Seed family takes scripture songs and puts motions to them to help their children memorize scripture. And so if you have children and you want to help them memorize scripture, or if you're looking for some motions to a song, if that's the way you like to praise the Lord, they are the Seed family. And you can get their information online, or you can find them on the internet and on YouTube. But anyway, I wanted to put that little plug in there, because anything that you can put to a tune is so much easier to remember. Because as I think of the houses that we, places we used to live, the girls would always put the address to a tune so that they could remember their address. When they were little, we used to sing our address. And so it helps when you put scripture to a tune. But anyway, we're going to go on and talk about Hebrews 10:23. So the New Testament uses this phrase, hold fast, to speak of remaining true to tradition or doctrine. And the readers are encouraged to remain true to their confession, referring to what they believe about God. What is your confession about the Lord Jesus Christ? And to remain true with what they share with others. And so the reason we're able to hold fast our confession is because he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you have found the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful? Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you show it to us every day. And it also says that we are to do this unwavering. And that's not a word that we would normally use. But still, when it's applied to our faith and our hope in God, it means that it's solid. It's the faith and assured hope that things cannot weaken. But God is in control. And so unwavering is without confusion or doubt. It's fixed and steady at all times. And without swerving or turning aside. Without swerving in another direction. I don't know, how many of you went to see the movie Revolution? Oh my goodness, that part where the man was on drugs and he was driving and he was swerving all over the highway. I'm just, when I read the definition of this word, that's what I thought of, was this man swerving here and swerving there. Well, in our faith and in our confession, we are supposed to be unwavering or unswerving. And we can develop a skill of holding fast. And so I like how Paul, he'll give us practical steps throughout the word. And when we put those together, we see a way that we can strengthen ourselves and we can grow. And so that's what we're going to look at, because we want to develop this skill. Amen? Do you want the skill to hold fast? We're not going to make it in the end times if we are not holding fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the world is quickly changing and you see it spiraling into destruction. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to give us life and life more abundantly. So if we have that skill, we can hold fast even on the stormiest days of our life. How many of you have had a few stormy days in your life? Lord, help us. We know all about the storm. So let's see how we can learn to hold fast. The first one is practice the habit of transparency with God and others. And when you feel happy, express it. When you feel down, say so. When storms hit, the worst response you can do is to put on this happy mask and pretend like everything is okay and cover up your misery when you're feeling miserable inside. So be an honest person. Be an honest person. You don't walk around and tell your troubles to everybody. At least I hope you don't. But you have some friends that you can call and be honest with. Or you can call an elder of the church and say, I need prayer today. There is nothing wrong with admitting you need prayer and that you're having a tough day. And it's amazing how people just try to cover that up and try to act so strong when all the time they're hurting on the inside and there's help for that. There's help for that. There's hope in Jesus Christ for that. He is the lover of our soul. He is the great soul physician. And he will lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. And so sometimes you just got to reach out for help. So be transparent with God and with others. Don't put on a front that isn't honest. Be an honest person. The second thing is to practice the habit of meditating on the Word of God. And in Psalm 119:97, it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. That's Psalm 119:97. It's not in the PowerPoint, but I love that psalm. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. And it causes me to be even wiser than my enemies. Praise God. So to meditate is to think about the scripture, and it also means to make an utterance or to pray or to talk. So it can be an inward meditation where you're thinking about it in your own mind, but it can also involve saying it out loud. And so when we memorize verses of scripture, it's good to say them out loud, right? Do you just memorize them inside your head? I think that would be a little more difficult. Although, I mean, after you've said it, we always wrote them on our card. And the girls had scriptures to memorize every week, and we'd put them on the refrigerator. And so we'd all memorize them, and we'd keep them in front of us, and we'd say them out loud. But then during the day, you have that, and you can think about that regardless of what you're doing. It's in your mind, and you can meditate on it inside. And so memorize the scriptures and think about God's promises during the day. You know, when you have negative thoughts, it's always good to bring in a positive thought of God's goodness. Like I shared with you after my surgery, I've had some really miserable days, but my confession is that I'm so thankful to be alive and that I have one more day that I can praise the Lord and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So we trust the Lord with our life because our life belongs to Him, and He knows what's going on the inside of us. He knows what's going on with us, and we can hold fast to Him because He is faithful. And we know God is the only one that can change our circumstances. You know, people come along that are well-educated, trained, and skilled, and we are so appreciative for the medical world and all of the knowledge that they have and how they help us. But their help alone is not what heals and restores us. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't touch our bodies, nothing's going to happen regardless of the best surgeon that you have. Is that right? We've got to keep our eyes in the right place. We so appreciate everyone that is skilled. And when you need them, you're very thankful that they're in the ER room. Amen? You're very thankful that somebody is there to help you. But we want to keep our thoughts on the Lord Jesus Christ. And another way to meditate or practice that habit is to put a scripture to song. And our daughter Teresa, she would always like to do that. If she had a scripture she wanted to memorize, she'd make up a little tune with it, and she'd be singing it to us. And she's still singing today and helping lead praise and worship in another place. She loves God's word, and she loves to put it to song. And so that's another way. And then just sing throughout the day. How many of you praise the Lord during the day? You turn on the radio, and it's praise songs that's on the radio. Yes, praise the Lord. Deacon Jerome's waving back there. Yes, you know, we like our music going. Amen? Yeah. Amen. It lifts your soul. And the third thing we can do is practice the habit of giving God priority. So pray early in the day. I had a professor that taught us early on that you should get up right and go to bed right. And so when you get up right, you're spending time with the Lord. And when you go to bed right, you're spending time with the Lord. And so you take that personal time and make God a priority. And then you should worship regularly. And also share your resources generously. And also study the Bible systematically. And that's something that you hear continually from us, regardless of what leader is teaching. Study the Word. Get into the Word, and the Word does something on the inside of you. It is quick and it's powerful, even if you just have it going in the background. I don't know if you have the scriptures. We used to have the scriptures on cassette tape, play them all the time, you know, and then you get upgraded to CDs. So we bought scriptures on CDs, and now it is so convenient to have them live streamed in. You've got them on your app, on your phone, on your computer, and you can listen to the Word of God. I love to listen to it. I like to follow along in my reading and listen to it at the same time, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And so just putting those things into practice, into habit, to be a part of your life, that God is a priority and His Word is going to help you develop the skill to hold fast. So, Father, I pray for everyone listening to this message today, Lord, that You, Lord, will help us to apply these points to our lives, O God, that we will be strong in You, and, Lord, that we will be able to hold fast when the storms of life come. Hallelujah. Amen. So we know many diversions will come, and they try to crowd our schedules. But as God is put first in your day, you'll be able to hold fast. And you'll be able to, you'll get stronger every day in being able to discipline yourself to do the things that you need to do. And everybody needs to be disciplined. No one likes to be disciplined. And I'm sure we have all sat there and thought, I really need to get up and do such and such. And then we have all of these other thoughts for why we're not going to do it. Do you guys do that? Yeah. I think that's part of our human nature. And so the people who really get ahead in life are the people who get up and do things. When you're just sitting there wishing they would get done, they don't get done. And there's a lot of things we wish someone else would come and do, but it's our responsibility, and nobody can do them but us. And so I encourage you to work on this, because when distractions come and when the storms of life begin to blow, and you know we have these floods of trouble that come. Is that right? I'm not speaking that over anyone, but that is a part of life. Jesus said in John 16:33, I've told you all this so that trust in me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world. That's John 16:33. Be of good cheer. The Lord said, I've overcome the world. So, you know, this is something we can cheer about. Woo! Yay! Jesus overcame the world. And if we are trusting in Him, then we have this assurance that we'll be unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay, so the third, fourth, and fifth lettuce statements are found in Hebrews 10:24-25. And it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good works. And that word spur in the Greek means to stimulate strongly, to arouse, to incite to riot. So it's a pretty strong word. And when I thought of that, read that word, Roxanne, I thought of you wear spurs when you ride a horse, at least the cowboys used to. I don't know if the cowgirls still wear spurs sometimes. But I'm thinking that's the horse gets the point, right? Yeah. And so we're supposed to get the point that we're supposed to spur one another on for good works and towards love. Towards love, that means to act lovingly toward other believers, regardless of your feelings about them. And good deeds, works done for the good of others, and which attract others to Christ. And this is what Paul says is going to help us grow and persevere. And so I wanted to share with you a story I read written by a man named Herman Trueblood. And I thought, well, that's an interesting name. But this is what Herman experienced. One hot day, Herman Trueblood, all clean and cooled off by a nice swim in the ocean, saw a sweating man and his two sons trying on a hot day to push a disabled car up an incline. Two voices started yelling at each other inside him. One said, "There is an opportunity to do a good deed. You ought to go help them push." And the other voice protested, "Now that is none of your business. You will get yourself all hot and dirty. Just let them handle their own affair." So he finally yielded to his better impulse. He put his shoulder to the task. And he went and helped the men. And the car moved and kept moving. And a simple thing then happened that Herman never forgot. The father stuck out his dirty hand, and True Blood stuck out his, and the father said, "I am very glad that you came along. You had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go." Herman later reflected, "Years have passed since that hot day, but I can still hear that man saying, 'You had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go.'" And so there are many thousands of people struggling to get some heavy load over the hill, and you probably have just enough strength added to theirs to make things go. Beautiful story about spurring someone along and helping do a good work. And that's showing love towards another human being. And so the next one we're going to go on says, "Let us not give up meeting together." And the believers must not have been meeting together, otherwise he would not have brought this up. So they must have gotten in the habit of staying home. And the Christians in the book of Hebrews were obviously not going to the meetings. And so for whatever reason, they were trying to survive on their own. And it's interesting how people will isolate and try to survive on their own. John Wesley said, "There's nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian." This individualistic attitude is also prevalent today as well. And we know God did not design us to be completely independent of each other. However, he designed believers to need and encourage each other. So to withdraw from the corporate strength is an invite to disaster. It's like the soldier that lingers behind his platoon and becomes an easy target. And we know our bishop always says, uses the illustration of the banana that gets separated from the bunch is the one that gets eaten. God designed for us to come together corporately, and within the corporate meeting, we prepare a habitation for the Lord to dwell in. And the Lord dwells with us. And we sense his presence, his anointing. And it is because he brought us together because he loves the church and he wants to be in our midst and he wants to minister to us. God designed the church, and Jesus loved the church so much that he gave his life for the church. And everything changed when the church was birthed forth on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ birthed a church in the earth, a mighty force. It is called the ecclesia in the Greek. He said he loved the ecclesia so much, he gave his life for her. And so Satan didn't know that when he put Jesus Christ on the cross, that there was a mighty church that was going to come forth because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ took the keys to death, hell, and the grave away from Satan, and he restored the authority in the earth. So what originally happened back in the garden, the sin that caused the fall, was restored through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has become our high priest, and he has made a way for each one of us to personally come to the Father because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we serve. And as the church was birthed forth, they gathered together, they prayed, they worshiped, and they ate together a lot. We read that in our life group on Wednesday night when we studied about the church. It seems like every time you turned around, they were gathering in each other's houses to eat. And so they like to eat. How many like to eat? Yeah, we kind of like to eat around here. And we get served some really good food around here. So we're thankful for the opportunity to worship together, to pray together, to receive teaching, exhortation, and to gain strength. And that's why we meet together. We shouldn't give up meeting together. Let us not, is what the scripture says. And then the last part of the let us is let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the days approaching. And these words reveal that Christians are responsible for each other's spiritual well-being. Christians are to encourage one another to stay the course, to stay active in their service for God. So many times people get so discouraged because so many things come at them. But if you just have a friend to come alongside of you when you're carrying that heavy load to encourage you, you're not alone. I'm here. Sometimes you got to go help somebody. Sometimes somebody needs help in their house. We've helped a lot of people move over this last year. There's just a lot that goes on that you can't handle by yourself, that we need someone to come alongside of us. And sometimes there's a heavy load that you carry for a while, a heavy load in your soul, and you need to know people love you and appreciate you and are there for you. And you see, this is what the body of Christ does. This is what the family of God does one for another. And it causes us to persevere. And it causes us to be able to hold fast the confession of our faith. Don't give up and throw in the towel. Don't give up and say, it's just too much. I'm not doing this anymore. It's not working. Well, Jesus said that you're going to have trouble in this life. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're trouble free. But the promise is that God is with you. And God is the one that is able to deliver you out of every situation. When you call on the name of the Lord, he said, I hear you and will deliver you out of your trouble. His deliverance will come. It may not be the way that you thought it should come, but it will come if you hold on fast to the promises of God. And don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Jesus Christ is returning someday. It's a guarantee. Christ will return. And through the centuries, many Christians have been discouraged because they believed that Christ should have already returned. Do you remember the 88 reasons? Well, some of you might not have been born yet, but there was a book, The 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. Did you ever hear that? And then the guy was wrong, so he changed it to 1989. And there have been so many predictions. But you know, the scripture says, no man knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour. So you can waste a whole lot of time trying to figure out when he's coming, when you should just be living your life. Like Bishop says, live your life till you die. Because you know what? Jesus will come for you when you die. It may not be with his second coming when he returns to take his bride away. Jesus is coming for us. And we should live every day like today is the day that Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. Amen. You know, we were raised under that teaching. You live every day like the Lord's coming today. And I think I was talking with Brother Jeff in our staff meeting, and he was saying that they were going to the movie, the Revolution movie. And I was saying, you know, we do go to movies sometimes now, but when we were growing up, we never went to movies because they said it was a sin to go to movies, and I was so afraid Jesus would come when I was sitting in the movie. So I would not go. So I've broke free from that. I don't go see just any old movie, but that was an excellent, excellent movie. I think Paula went too, didn't you? Yeah, Paula said she went. She couldn't find anyone to go with her, right? Yeah, but she went. And I'm so glad we got to go see it. So it's going to be out one of these days, I'm sure, live stream or on DVD, if you didn't get to go see it. But it is a very good movie. And so Christ loves us. And he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And he encourages us not to be lazy in our devotions or unprepared for his coming, like the foolish virgins were. They were waiting for the bridegroom, but they were unprepared and had to go do something and then miss the bridegroom. We don't want to be like the foolish virgins. So we want to encourage each other to stay on track. And you know, a word of encouragement offered at the right moment can make the difference between a person staying strong in faith or absolutely collapsing along the way. You know, to me, a word of encouragement is like a drink of cold water. It's refreshing to your soul. You just need to know someone is in the battle with you. Amen? Someone's in the battle with you. And that they love you. And they're sensitive to your needs. And that's what we should be as we're growing in Christ and maturing. It's not all about us. It's not all about what we need. But it's recognizing what another person needs. And that is part of, as a priest, we pray for others. We offer sacrifices of praise to the Lord. And we lift up petitions before the Lord for others. And so we should be mature enough to be able to help people carry their load. That doesn't mean you're doing everything for them, but it means, because that's codependent behavior when you think you have to take care of everybody else's problems, that you are the answer. You are not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And he has given you tools to be able to help them. So we want to hold fast to our confession. The Bible gives several examples of believers encouraging one another. I encourage you to look some of those up. But in closing, I want to share one of them from Hebrews 3, 12 to 13. You see it written up there in the NIV. I'm going to read it to you in the Message. It says, so watch your step, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as God's still calling it today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. If we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ for the long haul. So hold fast the confession of our hope, of our faith, without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this word that has gone forth today. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to teach us, continue to water it. Lord, our desire is to grow in you and to have a deeper understanding of who you are and what our relationship is and who you have made us. Lord, I thank you that you touch people today in their hearts and minds, and Lord, that you give them their identity, Lord, that they are valuable, valuable and important in the kingdom of God. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, bless everyone that listens to this message, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you multiply this in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read three scriptures, and then we will take the bread and the communion. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." We want life, don't we? "Whosoever eat my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he dwelleth in me, and I in him." So let's just hold this bread up. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this body which is broken for you, and we always do this in remembrance of you. Thank you for your life forever, in Jesus' name. And also, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often you drink it, you do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord, I just thank you that we are covered and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have eternal life and full forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll have our closing benediction and then have the elders come forward if anyone would like prayer today. So Numbers 6:24 through 26 says this. If you'd all stand, please. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we go today, Lord, we go with the blessing of the Lord upon us. Father, that your mighty hand will keep us this week, and Lord God, that you will give us peace. Thank you for this time we've had together, Lord. Bless the food today that's been prepared for us and our time of fellowship. Lord, thank you for our friends and guests that were here today. Lord, bless and strengthen each one of